Good morning. Today's reading is taken from The Scapegoat by Jocelyn Brooke, beginning at page 92. One day, rather late in the afternoon, he set out for the woods. The weather, fine for the last few days, showed signs of breaking up again. A bank of cloud hung ominously over the woods, and the wind had moved round to the southwest. Duncan walked leisurely up the woodland path. At one point he noticed a narrow track on the right-hand side, which he did not remember, and he decided to explore it. The new path led on indeterminately, curving now to the right, now to the left, narrowing slightly as it progressed. Coming up the main path, the woodland had been noisy with birds. Here it was perfectly silent. Duncan walked softly, the feeling of mystery which haunts all woods, accentuating his own sense of irrational expectancy. Presently he came to a clearing. Here the ground sloped abruptly to the right, and the path which he had been following took a sharp curve in the opposite direction. The slope was clothed with tall beech trees, and the ground beneath them was thick with last year's leaves. There was little undergrowth, only a few bushes of spurge laurel and the dark, holly-like clumps of butcher's broom. Suddenly, Duncan started forward. Further down the slope, a tall plant had caught his attention, a high cluster of pale green blossom surmounting a tuft of darker foliage. It might be a large plant of wood spurge, but it seemed too robust. He hurried down the slope and examined it briefly. There was no doubt about it. It was the stinking hellebore, one of the flowers he had always wanted to find. It was larger than he had expected from the pictures, an august and rather sinister-looking plant. The unopened buds drooped stiffly, bluntly pointed, like the heads of adders poised to strike. The expanded green flowers were fringed with a line of dull, thunderous purple. Nearby he saw another plant, and another. In the beechen dimness he could see the pale, drooping clusters receding, innumerable, between the silvery boles. He ran hither and thither, assuring himself that it was really the plant he thought. No doubt of it. He felt strangely excited. Something had happened at last. He gathered a bunch, and at length decided that it must be time to go home. He clambered up the slope again, making his way back, as he thought, by the same path. Soon, however, something about the track struck him as unfamiliar. A curious, cup-shaped fungus protruded from the trees, which themselves had changed, being mostly elder and ash instead of hazel. He noticed, too, some blotched, silvery orchis leaves by the path's edge, which he had not seen before. Moreover, the path twisted continuously and seemed to be going downhill. He retraced his steps, but the path forked several times, and at last he realized that he was lost. He wandered on rather hopelessly, losing all sense of direction and taking any path at random. The sun was low now, and he noticed that the clouds had swept up to the zenith. Presently it began to rain. He quickened his pace. The clouds had hastened the coming dusk, and he began to feel frightened. The wood was large, he knew, and even if he succeeded in getting out of it, he might find himself far from home. He hurried on. The paths all seemed alike, sometimes wider, sometimes narrower. He wished he could find the beech hanger again, where he had found the hellebore, but he must have travelled a considerable distance since he left it. The darkness increased rapidly, and the rain became heavier. Drops from the trees spattered on his bare head and down his open-necked shirt onto his chest. His body was hot from walking, and the rain struck unnaturally cold, like a physical manifestation of his fear. At last he stopped dead in his tracks, a helpless anxiety paralysing his limbs. A sudden, sickening excitement crept over him, such as he had sometimes felt in dreams, a compulsive abandonment to something evil and perilous which was half agony, half pleasure. The moment passed, leaving its physical tokens. He felt, all at once, emptied of all life, hopelessly weary. Yet his mind had become curiously lucid. He struck along another path with renewed confidence, and found himself in the field of the stones, close to the tumuli. Passing the three ivy-covered mounds, he made for the hurdle and paused, leaning against it, getting his breath. He was unbearably hot. His shirt clung to his body, drenched with rain and sweat. Unbuttoning it, he allowed the rain to fall unhindered onto his bare chest, breathing deeply, trying to still the trembling which shook his body. Here ends the reading. Have a very good day.